السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Inshallah, today we're going to be speaking about two topics. The first is about the siwak, and the second is about acts of the fitrah, the sunan of the fitrah, etiquettes of how we are supposed to take care of ourselves, specifically pertaining to hygiene. And inshallah, we'll speak about those soon. Firstly, there's a few questions that came up from last lesson that I just wanted to quickly go over, inshallah. With regards to, first of all, a person answering the call of nature standing, standing and answering the call of nature isn't haram. It's something which is disliked. As we mentioned, there are some narrations of the Prophet ﷺ who stood and urinated when the place where he was urinating was impure and dirty, and he would stand and urinate. But as we mentioned, it's better for a person to sit and answer the call of nature. And there were some other questions regarding last week. Somebody's asking, most toilets are in the bathrooms where we proceed to wash our hands and make wudu. Is it then permissible to say ghufranaka or say bismillah before we start wudu, because a person will go to the bathroom to perform wudu, not necessarily to use the toilet itself? So as we said, if a person says it in his heart, then inshallah, that's fine. Nothing wrong with the person doing that in the bathroom if he's only going to perform wudu and he's not going to answer the call of nature. With regards to using the right hand for eating and receiving gifts, etc., what about for those who are left-handed? They'll just have to try harder to use their right hand, and inshallah, they'll get the reward. So if they make more effort using their right hand, even if it's not natural for them to use their right hand when it comes to eating, when it comes to just using it generally for the things that we mentioned, then if they make the effort, inshallah, Allah will reward them more, because they're taking more of an effort, or they're making more of an effort to use their right hand. If a person's unable to find water to perform istinja after answering the call of nature and then uses toilet paper to clean themselves or tissue paper as fully as possible, is this fine? And if they make wudu after this, is this fine? Yes, we mentioned that a person, he can just do istijmar. Istijmar is when a person uses originally stones, or if a person uses toilet paper, he can just do istijmar, as long as he makes sure that he removes all of the impurity as best as he can. So long as he wipes and there's no more impurity left on whatever he's wiping with, then inshallah, there's nothing wrong with him just doing istijmar and not doing istinja if, for example, there isn't any water, or if he's in a rush, or, you know, it's not necessary for a person to do istijmar and also istinja. But again, as we mentioned, it's better if you can do both. So, inshallah, today we're going to be speaking about the siwak and acts of the fitrah, or sunan al-fitrah, the sunan of the fitrah pertaining to cleanliness. And why are we speaking about the siwak? The siwak is mentioned in some of the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah, salatu wasalam, and we'll mention some of those examples later. One of those ahadith is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, where she said the Prophet said, "As-siwakum mutahharatun lil-fam, mardatun lil-rab," that the siwak is purifying for the mouth and pleasing to the Lord. The siwak is purifying for the mouth and pleasing to the Lord. And with regards to the acts of the fitrah, the sunan of the fitrah, sunanul fitrah, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet said, there are five things from the fitrah. Another narration mentions 10. This hadith mentions 5. Removing pubic hair, circumcision, trimming the mustache, removing armpit hair, and cutting the nails. So these five things are mentioned in the hadith: removal of pubic hair, circumcision, trimming the mustache, removal of armpit hair, and trimming the nails or cutting the nails. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu also mentions in a hadith some of the other acts of the fitrah when he said, "Uhfu al-shawarib wa afu al-liha." He said, "Trim the mustache and leave the beard." Trim the mustache and leave the beard. So, first of all, we'll be speaking about the siwak, etiquette of the siwak. What is the siwak? Are there any specific times when it's encouraged to use a siwak? How should one use a siwak? What are those circumstances when maybe it might not be good to use a siwak? And first of all, we're going to go into the definition of the word siwak. What is a siwak? What is a siwak or a miswak? Either way, you can use either word. Miswak or siwak? A toothbrush? Okay, so the toothbrushes we buy from wooden one? Okay, so the ones from the branch of a tree. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, so what is a siwak then? Like, what's the purpose of the siwak? If we were to define the siwak, what's the definition of a siwak? And this is important because definitions, by the way, are important. Because through definitions, we can understand rulings. So if you know the definition of something, it helps understand the rulings. Yeah. Yes, brother. Something to clean the mouth from something bad, okay? Yeah. So the scholars, they say, the definition of a siwak or a miswak is using something to clean the inside of the mouth from discoloration and filth or impurities. So using something to clean the inside of the mouth from discoloration and filth. So using something to clean the inside of the mouth from discoloration and filth. This is basically what a miswak is. And this is something which is encouraged for a person to do at all times. It's something which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam also encouraged, as we're going to mention. So what can be defined and what can be used with regards to the siwak? First of all, of course, the general understanding of the siwak is something like this. So this is basically the siwak. Yeah, this is the basic idea of what a siwak is. There's different sizes available in any Islamic shop. I'm not going to promote any here. So normally you don't have this tip like this. It's normally like this when you buy them. And then you chew on the end and you make it moist. The outer layer will come off, leaving just the inner layer. And then when you squeeze it and you have it moist, then it becomes like a brush. Okay, I'm sure most of you know anyway, but those for those who don't. And then you can use it to cleanse the mouth. And it has many good properties. As the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that siwak is something which purifies, mutahharatun lilfam, purifies the mouth. Notice how he didn't say purifies the teeth, purifies the mouth. So the siwak has purifying properties, not just for the teeth, but for the gums, for the tongue, and generally for the inside of the mouth. And scientists, they did research, and they found that the siwak has antibacterial properties. It has antifungal properties. It's effective at removing plaque. It has whitening properties. It whitens the teeth. So lots of properties. It helps heal wounds which are inside the mouth. So you can research this if you type in medicinal properties of the siwak, medicinal benefits of siwak. You'll come up with a whole list of benefits of the siwak, and there's research that's been done with regards to the siwak itself. And the siwak is comes from this siwak, these types of siwak or miswak, which are popular. They come from a specific tree called the arak tree. So it comes from the arak tree. And you do get other types of siwaks, which are from other types of trees. There are narrations where the Prophet ﷺ used to use these, and there are narrations that the Prophet ﷺ used to use other types of siwak also. And again, the aim and the goal of the siwak is that the siwak is used, the siwak or the miswak is something which is used to clean the inside of the mouth from discoloration and from filth. And as we said, it's something which is used at all times. It's the sunnah. It's a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's recommended for a person to use the siwak during all times, even for the one who's fasting. Even for the one who's fasting, it's encouraged for him to use the siwak. Of course, any bits and pieces which go in the mouth of a person who's fasting while he's using the siwak, he doesn't swallow it. He tries to remove it from his mouth. So, a couple of other issues before we go into when it's encouraged for a person to use a siwak. An issue that came about last week, I think, or the week before, using the right hand or the left hand to use a siwak. Do you use the right hand or the left hand? Why is there an issue or a... It's a minor difference amongst the scholars. It's not a big deal either way. But why is there a difference in the first place? Because normally you use your right hand for things. This is the general meaning of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعجبه التيمن. He used to always start with his right في تناوله وترجله, when he would comb his hair, when he would put his shoes on, and when it came to purification like wudu, etc. وفي شأنه كله, and in all of his affairs, he would use the right. He would start with the right. Why would you use the left hand? Because some may say you're removing dirt and impurities. When a person does istinja or istijmar, he uses the left. So, would you use the left when you're using the siwak? The scholars, they say, they find a middle path. Some of them, they say, that if a person, for example, is using it to follow the sunnah, he can use the right. If he's using it, for example, to actually remove some dirt from the mouth, he can use his left. But also, the scholars say, it's better to use the right, based on the hadith we just mentioned, that the Prophet ﷺ would, يُعْجِبُهُ التَّيَمُّنْ, he would always start with the right. He would always either start with the right or use the right hand for things, generally speaking. So, a person can use a right hand, and again, it's not like a major issue regardless of which hand he ends up using. But we also learn from this hadith that we just mentioned, when a person does start using the siwak, which side of the mouth should he start from? On the right side. So when you start using the siwak, start from the right side to fulfill the sunnah, and then you can continue and move on to the left side after you use the right side. And this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, of just generally starting with the right. And that's something which he would do, was a common practice, even when it came to food, serving food, etc. Okay, another issue with regards to the siwak. The brother mentioned at the beginning, well, when we asked for the definition of siwak, that it's a toothbrush. And I asked, okay, if you go to the supermarket and you buy a toothbrush, is the toothbrush from the shop, okay, Colgate or any other toothbrush you buy, is it considered a siwak or a miswak? Would it be considered a miswak? What do you guys think? Yes? No? Okay. So what's the... Yeah. Okay, what if you don't use toothpaste? It will clean a little bit. So, what's the definition of siwak? Anything which is used, or something which is used to clean the inside of the mouth from discoloration and filth. So, interestingly, some of the scholars, Sheikh Uthaymeen and others, they would say using a toothbrush and toothpaste would, if a person used them instead of, for example, using a siwak, due to the fact that it's even more purifying, especially if you use it with toothpaste, Sheikh Uthaymeen, he said, إِذَا فَعَلَهُ الْإِنسَانِ, if the person does this, حَصَلَتْ بِهِ السُنَّةِ, he's obtained the sunnah. Very interesting. Sheikh Uthaymeen says, if you use a toothbrush and toothpaste, you've obtained the sunnah. You've fulfilled the sunnah. Because he says, the goal, okay, and the intention is to cleanse the mouth. And if the goal is achieved by using a toothbrush, then you fulfill the sunnah. If your intention was to clean your mouth, to clean your teeth, as a result of following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, of cleansing the mouth, then you would have fulfilled the sunnah. However, Sheikh Uthaymeen and others, obviously, they also say that it doesn't substitute for the siwak. Okay? It doesn't substitute for the siwak. Why doesn't it substitute for the siwak? First of all, because this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to use. Okay? Secondly, because there are circumstances and moments where it will be practically easier for a person to use a siwak as opposed to using a toothbrush and toothpaste. So, for example, one of the times it's encouraged for a person to use a miswak is before salah. Before salah. So, obviously, it's easier to use a miswak. You're not going to have a toothbrush and get toothpaste out and start brushing your teeth before salah. So, it's easier to use a miswak. Yeah, it's easier for a person to use a miswak during other times, as we'll mention those examples. There's about 5 or 6 times when it's recommended for a person to use a miswak. So, because of this, they say one should still fulfill the sunnah of using the miswak itself. Okay, the miswak that we have, the miswak that we use, this miswak, these types of miswaks, because as we mentioned, it's something which is closer to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's something which he used. It's more practical. A person can use it prior to the salah and during other moments. So, other instances, it might be easier for a person to use a toothbrush and with toothpaste. For example, in the morning when he wakes up, you know, it might clean better, for example, as opposed to a siwak. So, the scholars, they say, in certain instances, a person can use a toothbrush with toothpaste, and at other moments, especially at the times when the Prophet ﷺ encouraged a person or used to use a siwak, then a person should also use a siwak. So, there are certain instances where it's encouraged for a person to use the siwak, okay? In total, there are 7 moments, 7 instances, 7 times when it's encouraged for a person to use a siwak. The first instance is prior to a person performing wudu. Prior to a person performing wudu, before a person performs wudu, it's encouraged for a person to use a siwak. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he said, "Lawla an ashqa ala ummati la amartum bisiwaki 'inda kulli wudu." That if it wasn't for the fact that it would be a burden for my ummah, I would have commanded them to use the siwak before wudu. Every time before wudu. If it wasn't for the fact that it would be difficult for my ummah, I would have commanded them to use a siwak before every wudu. Meaning every time they did wudu, I would have commanded them, meaning I would have made an obligation for them to use a siwak before every single wudu that they made. So what does it show us? First of all, it's interesting. It shows us that it's not obligatory. Also, it shows us the mercy of Allah, that Allah hasn't made an obligation. Also, the scholars of fiqh and the scholars of usul, they say this hadith shows us that from the reasons why some things are not compulsory, and from the reasons why sometimes things would not be encouraged for a person to do, is when they become difficult for a person or when they become a burden for a person. Based on this hadith, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي. If it wasn't for the fact that it would overburden my people, my ummah. So they say, this hadith shows us, sometimes in some situations, if something is overburdening a person, based on this hadith, it's not from Islam for a person to do those things if it's causing a problem, if it's overburdening them. And of course, there's details with regards to those kinds of situations and circumstances. But the scholars do take rulings from this hadith based on the wording of the Prophet ﷺ. So, number one, prior to a person or before a person performs wudu. Number two, before a person performs salah. Before a person performs salah, fard salah or optional salahs? Obligatory salahs or voluntary salahs? All of them. All of them. Whether it's obligatory or whether it's optional. any salah a person performs. Because the Prophet said in a hadith, which is very similar in wording, if it wasn't for the fact that it would be a burden for my ummah, I would have ordered them to use a siwak before every salah. So the other hadith, before every wudu, in this hadith, before every salah. And salah here is nakira, meaning it's general. It's not specific. So any salah then. Any salah a person performs, it doesn't mention fard or anything like this. If it's a fard salah, if it's an optional salah, if it's a witr, if it's a nafal, if it's a fard, okay, a person, if he's about to pray, then it's encouraged for him to use a siwak prior to a person using, prior to a person praying, he can use a siwak. Number three, after a person wakes up from sleeping. After a person wakes up from sleeping, it's encouraged for him to use a siwak. If a person, let's say, wakes up in the morning, goes to the bathroom, he can use a siwak and then he can use his toothbrush. And he's fulfilling the sunnah of using the siwak. Yeah, so you have the best of both worlds. If a person wakes up in the morning after sleeping during the night, he uses a siwak. If a person wakes up in the daytime after sleeping in the day, in the afternoon, after dhuhr, for example, does that also apply? Yeah, it also applies. Okay, it also applies. The companions, they said that the Prophet ﷺ said, كَانَ إِذَا قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ يَشُوْ صُفَاهُ بِالسِّوَاكِ, that when he would wake up from the night after sleeping, he would clean his mouth with the siwak. He would clean his mouth with the siwak. Meaning if a person wakes up in the nighttime, scholars say if a person wakes up in the daytime, if he's waking up from sleep, then it's encouraged for him to use the siwak. From the benefits of using the siwak is that it purifies the mouth, it removes odors. So not just discoloration, not just filth and impurity, but also it neutralizes odors. And I'm sure you've used the miswak before. Sometimes the miswak has specific flavors. So if they're in a packet, for example, most likely they've been flavored. And it's interesting, they call it the original flavor. Original doesn't mean it's natural. Original is the actual flavoring. So the flavoring is called original. And it's quite a strong, I'm sure you guys have used miswak. If you buy it and it's in a packet, when you open it, it's quite strong. It has quite a strong smell. That's been added to the miswak itself. That's the flavoring of the miswak. If you buy, for example, natural miswaks, okay, which aren't in a packet, then they won't really have a taste. Either way, because it's like a natural thing from a tree, it neutralizes the odors from the mouth. Okay, it removes impurities, but it also neutralizes the odors in the mouth. And that's one of the benefits. Of course, when a person wakes up in the morning, he may have a bad odor coming from his mouth. And so he can use a siwak to purify his mouth and to cleanse his mouth and remove any odors or smells. Based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that we mentioned, that he would use the siwak and clean his teeth or rub his teeth with the miswak, with the toothstick. Number four, when the smell of the mouth changes, regardless of, for example, if that was after he woke up from sleeping or as a result of something else, he may have been, for example, because he was eating or whatever circumstances there were, if the smell of his mouth has changed, then he can use the siwak to remove that odor and that bad smell. Okay, similar to the hadith we mentioned before. The hadith we just mentioned, that the Prophet ﷺ, he would wake up in the morning, okay, from sleep, he would rub the siwak in his mouth or clean his mouth with the siwak. So it removes the odors, it gets rid of bad smells. So number four, using the miswak to remove bad odors or to change the odor and the smell in your mouth. Number five, when you're reciting Quran, there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ narrated by Ali radiallahu an, where he said the Prophet ﷺ said, فَطَاهِرُوا أَفْوَاهَكُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ, purify your mouths prior to reading Quran. Purify your mouths prior to reading Quran. So prior to a person reciting Quran, it's encouraged for a person to use a siwak. Number six, when a person is about to enter his home, before entering your home, it's encouraged for a person to use a siwak. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان يبدأ إذا دخل بيته بالسواك. When he would enter his house, he would start with the siwak. He would begin with the siwak. Because it removes odors. Okay, you go to greet your family, greet your spouse, for example, and you want to purify your mouth, purify and remove the odors and remove any impurities from the mouth. So number six, before entering the home, before entering the house, before seeing your family. Number seven, before one's death. Before one's death, it's recommended to use the siwak. So if Allah gives one the ability and the blessing of being able to, you know, die in a circumstance where he's prepared, then using the miswak is a time, using the siwak prior to one's death is a time when it's recommended. What's the evidence for this? The death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in the lap of his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and he saw Aisha radiallahu anha's brother holding a siwak, and he looked at the siwak, signifying, you know, that he wanted to use it. So Aisha radiallahu anha took it from him, moistened it with her own mouth, and then she gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used it, and it was one of the last things he did before he passed away. In fact, it's the last thing he did, physically the last thing he did before he passed away. So again, he uses siwak prior to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because then the angel came down and the last words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were bal rafiqil ala, rather the highest companionship, because he's being told, he's being asked, do you want to go or do you want to stay? Because the angel of death, with prophets and messengers, they always ask for permission before taking the soul. This is something which is an honor given to the prophets of Allah. And so he said, no, rather the highest companionship, meaning I want to go to Allah. And so he had prepared himself, he had used a siwak prior to passing away. So these seven are etiquettes or times when it's encouraged to use a siwak. Although, of course, a person should use it at any time, he can use it at any moment. These specifically are mentioned based on the narrations that we've given of times when it's encouraged for a person to use a siwak before a person does wudu, before salah, when a person wakes up from sleeping, to change the smell from the mouth, or to purify and clean the smell of the mouth, before reciting Quran, before he enters his home, and before death. So these are from the ways in which, or from the times where it's permissible or recommended, not permissible, recommended for a person to use the siwak. So that's with regards to the siwak. That's with regards to the siwak. Now, inshallah, we're going to move on to sunanul fitra, the recommended acts of the fitra. The recommended acts of the fitra. And the word fitra refers to what? I mean, natural state. Yeah, when a person says the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that every child is born on the fitra. Every child is born on the fitra. So it's the same word which is being used. So why is the same word being used? Why are these acts of the fitra? Why are these specific acts called acts of the fitra? The scholars, they say, it's called fitra because this is the natural way upon which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the slave. And it's the way which Allah has urged his slaves to be. Meaning these acts, the way he's telling, the things he's telling people to do, the Muslims to do, these are things which he has told people to do, and it's the way that the slave should be. And Allah has loved for these things to be done by the slave. So Allah has encouraged it. Allah loves for the slave to act upon the acts of the fitra, to do these acts of the fitra, and it's part of the characteristics of a believer. So it's akmal sifat. It's the most complete attributes of the Muslim. For him to do these things is almost like a part of the Muslim's identity. And it's honorable for the believer, for the Muslim, to fulfill the acts of the fitra, and it adds to the Muslim's beauty, and it adds to the Muslim's overall appearance. And they also say it's the sunnah of the prophets of Allah that came before. It's the sunnah of the prophets of Allah that came before also. So it's something which Allah wants for the believers. It's something which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It adds to the completeness of the Muslim and the completeness of the Muslim's appearance and the way he looks. It adds to his beauty. It's something which completes his, you know, his overall appearance as a Muslim. And it's from the acts of the previous prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is basically the fitrah, and this is why it's called the fitrah. So we say Sunanul Fitrah. Sunanul Fitrah. Now, what's the ruling with regards to acts of the fitrah? The sunnah. Because the word sunan is from the word sunnah. So Sunanul Fitrah means these things are recommended for a person to do. And as we said, you know, just because it's a sunnah means it's something, okay, you won't be sinful if you don't do it, but it's part of the almost identity of the Muslim. It's you know, part of the cleanliness and the hygiene of the Muslim. And so one by one we'll go through these. And the Imam and the Sheikh, he mentioned a list of them, five of them from the hadith itself. And we'll go through them one by one, inshallah. The first is removal of the pubic hair. So it's removal of any of the hair from the private parts. And in whichever way a person does that, it would be permissible as long as the goal of removing their hair is met. So if a person uses a razor, if a person uses any other method, as long as the hair is removed, then it's something which is recommended for a person to do. And it's also part of cleanliness. It's considered part of beauty. And it's better, the scholars say, for a person to shave. So they say, al-afdal al-halq. It's better for a person to shave, because that's specifically what's mentioned in the sunnah. But as we said, if a person uses other methods, it's also permissible if a person removes it. Also nowadays, you know, you have, for example, you can even get these, apparently it's called IPL, these guns, they're called laser guns, but not those kinds of laser guns, okay, from fantasy, sci-fi films, whatever. The actual laser guns which a person can buy, and they, over a period of time, they help remove the hair from the body. Okay, so if a person, women for example, they may use that, a man could use that. So any means, whether it's these modern means or other means by which a person removes his hair, then it would be permissible for a person to use. Number two is circumcision, which is essentially moving the foreskin of the private part of the male. And this is something which is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, generally speaking, it's normally done when the child is born, when the child is born at a young age, not a newborn, instantly. Maybe they wait a few weeks or so, something, or maybe a month or so. I don't remember now how long it normally is, but they'll wait a while just to make sure that they do it properly, and the foreskin is removed. And it's for the male, not the female. And again, scholars differ with regards to male and female, but they say that it's something which is encouraged, and it's a sunnah for the male and not a sunnah for the female necessarily. And again, as we said, there is khilaf on the issue. The issue of FGM is not circumcision. FGM is something which causes harm to the female. Female genital mutilation isn't circumcision. That's a separate thing. That's, you know, where they actually cause harm to the girl when they try to do these specific types of things on the baby at a young age. So circumcision for the male child is something which is also the sunnah. What's the hikmah and the wisdom behind this? Cleanliness of the private part of the child, and it helps remove impurities. If a person has a foreskin, then it's something which can cause urine to not be completely cleansed from the private parts, and it can cause other issues later on, infections, etc. So removing the foreskin is an act of cleanliness. You're basically removing the outer layer of the private part. So circumcision, number two. Number three, trimming the mustache. And some scholars, they mention shaving the mustache, and trimming is better for a person to do as opposed to shaving, because of the narrations that mention this. Interestingly, the scholars, they mention trimming is better than shaving, and they mention some narrations regarding the appearance of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu as evidence. Any ideas what this is? Yeah, he would twist the ends of his mustache. So when they would describe Umar radiallahu an, they would say Umar radiallahu an, he would, from his appearance and the way he looked, etc., the ends of his mustache were twisted, because he would twist his mustache when he would be sitting. Meaning, what does it show us? That he wouldn't shave it completely, that he would just trim it. But again, scholars say, if a person did shave it, there's nothing wrong with this. But some of these narrations show that trimming is better based on the actions of some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, salatu wasalam. And again, this adds to a person's beauty, it's part of cleanliness, and it's also going against the acts of the disbelievers. As we'll see, the Prophet, salatu wasalam, he would say, be different to the mushrikeen, trim your mustache and grow the beard, or leave the beard. Because there were some people who would come to see the Prophet ﷺ in those days, and they would have long mustaches, they wouldn't trim their mustaches, and they would trim the beard. So again, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, be different to those who are from the disbelievers, because this was an act that they specifically would do, and so we're told to do the opposite. Number four, cutting the nails, and again, this is from beauty, it's also from hygiene. How is it from hygiene, cutting the nails? Yeah, because dirt can go under the nails. A person can have long nails, and then there's dirt under the nails, then they have to worry about cleaning them. So shortening and cutting the nails is also from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, the scholars say it prevents a person from doing things resembling animals, wild animals. So wild animals, that have claws, long nails, for example. You're going against the acts of those animals and going against other creatures who may have long nails. So the believer, the Muslim, is told to trim and cut his nails. Number five is removing underarm hair, removing armpit hair. And again, The hadith mentions plucking the armpit hair specifically. And the scholars, they say this is better than shaving, because it's specifically mentioned in the hadith. And they said it's afdal min al-halq. They said it's better than shaving. Halq is shaving. And they said if a person, of course, shaves, then that's permissible, that's fine, because you're still fulfilling the sunnah of removing the hair from under the arms, removing the armpit hair. And again, this is from cleanliness, it's from purification, you're removing any bad odors also from under the arm when you cleanse yourself and when you remove the armpit hair. So these are the five acts of the fitrah, the five sunan of the fitrah, the sunanul fitrah. Okay, so number one is removing the pubic hair. Number two is circumcision. Number three, trimming the mustache. Number four, cutting the nails. And number five, removing the armpit hair. So a couple of issues now. First of all, with regards to the length of time before one must remove, for example, the armpit hair, pubic hair, trimming the mustache, and cutting the nails. Is there a time limit? Should it be done should it be done regularly, every week, for example, every other week, every 2 weeks or 3 weeks? What does Islam say with regards to how often it should be done? Is there a limit? Is there a limit prior to a specific limit before which these things should be done? And there are narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by the companions that it's disliked for a person not to do these things. It's disliked for a person not to do these things for more than 40 days. It's disliked for a person not to do these things for more than 40 days. Meaning, doesn't mean you wait 40 days. It means the limit is 40 days. So, some narrations mention this hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentions 40 days specifically. So a person should avoid waiting for 40 days. It should be done prior to 40 days. And generally speaking, the scholars, they say it shouldn't be left for a very long period of time. So how often should it be done? Some of the scholars, they mentioned, based on some narrations, that a person should do it on a weekly basis. Why should it be done on a weekly basis? And what day? Jum'ah. Because of cleanliness, purification, a person purifies himself, he's supposed to perform ghusl on a Friday, and so a person is encouraged to do ghusl. And so, likewise, a person should use or do these acts of the fitrah every single week also on a Friday, according to some scholars. Other scholars, they say there is no specific time because people are different. For some, it may grow quicker. For others, it may not take as long to grow. So they say, so long as he doesn't reach 40 days, if he has his own, for example, length of time that he wants to wait for before he fulfills these acts of the fitrah, then again, there's nothing wrong with this also. But it's good to, Allah knows best, but it's good to have some kind of routine. Because this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, أَحَبُ الْعَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. That the most beloved acts to Allah are those which are consistent, even if they're small. So being consistent when it comes to pleasing Allah and doing good deeds is something which is recommended. So if a person has a set routine, whether it's a week or 2 weeks, if a person has a set routine of how often he does this act or these acts of the fitrah, that's something, inshallah, which is good because, it's more consistent, inshallah, it's more beloved to Allah. Whether it's a Friday or whether it's another day, whatever is convenient for a person, then inshallah, he'll be rewarded. But as we said, everyone's different, so maybe for some people, they might not need to do it after a week. They can wait maybe 2 weeks or something because, again, people are different and for some, it may grow quicker than others. But we did say the limit would be 40 days and it should definitely be done within a 40-day limit. Another issue is with regards to the beard. And as we said, it's wajib and obligatory for a person to leave the beard and it's haram for a person to shave the beard. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, Khaliful Mushrikeen, go against and do something different to the Mushrikeen, trim the mustache and leave the beard. Trim the mustache and leave the beard. And there's obviously lots of discussion amongst the scholars with regards to the beard itself. First of all, it's a definition of the beard. What is the beard? Where is the beard? What's the definition of the beard itself? Scholars have spoken about this. Sheikh Uthaymeen, for example, he will say the beard is whatever's on the cheeks and whatever's on the chin. So that's basically what's considered the beard. Other hair on other parts of the face would not be considered the beard. Other scholars, again, have other views. It's based on the linguistic definition of the word beard itself. And then again, scholars also discuss what it means by leaving the beard, because of course we have narrations of some of the companions, such as Ibn Umar radiallahu an, who interestingly narrated the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ saying, leave the beard. But what would he do? He would have a fist length, and then he would cut whatever was more than a fist length. And this was Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. So scholars differ with regards to that. Some say, leave the beard. One shouldn't touch the beard. Others, they say, a fist length, okay, would be permissible. Meaning cutting a fist more than a fist length would be permissible. Other scholars, they say, if the beard is thick enough for you not to see the skin, then even if it's less than a fist length, it's okay because you can't see the skin. But the point is, regardless of all of these issues and differences amongst the scholars, a person should have what's considered and understood to be a beard and what resembles a beard by the general understanding of people. A person should have something resembling a beard at the very least. Putting aside all of the khilaf, a person should have a beard because it's part of Islam. putting aside all of the issues, it's part of Islam for a person to have a beard, it's part of manhood for a person to have a beard, and the beard is something which is from the, of course, from the obligations of the believer. And so a person should have a beard, as this is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And with this, inshallah, we've concluded this session about the siwak and about the sunnah acts of the fitra or the sunanul fitra. Any questions before we conclude? Any questions? Is there a sunnah too? No, there's no sunnah to hold the miswak a certain way. As we said, you can use your right hand and you can use the miswak. You know, how, whichever way it feels comfortable to use. Sometimes some places might be harder to use. Sheikh Uthaymeen, interestingly, he says one of the benefits of the toothbrush, the modern toothbrush, is that it may be able to get into places which the siwak won't be able to get into. But you can use the siwak in however, in whatever fashion you wish, inshallah. Any other questions? Okay, so there's a question here with regards to hair. I have a question about haircuts. Are fades classed as haram, even if not using a zero guard? So, qaza' in Islam is something which is prohibited by the Prophet ﷺ, which is leaving hair on some parts of the head and then shaving others. So if a person can see the skin on some parts of the hair or the, of the head and other parts are covered with hair, then that wouldn't be permissible. Can the Sheikh please teach us the ideal, most hygienic way to use the miswak? Should one swallow the pieces or should one spit them out? Again, it's, I mean, you're not supposed to eat the miswak peel. So if you are using one and you have pieces in your mouth, yeah, you can spit it out. Inshallah, you can, if you want to eat it, you can eat it. It's not a problem. There's no harm in it, I suppose. It's just from a branch of a tree. But if you can remove it, without, obviously, if you're in the masjid and you're using the siwak, you don't want to stay, you don't want to throw rubbish in the masjid and leave bits of siwak on the floor. Use a tissue, put it in a tissue and put it in your pocket and then throw it away, inshallah. But either way, it's not, there's no, the sunnah doesn't come and specify exactly what you should do with the siwak pieces. And, you know, Allah's made it easy. So whatever a person does, as long as he's not littering on the streets or littering on in the masjid itself, then a person can do whatever he wishes, inshallah. Any other questions? Yeah, so qaza, the Prophet ﷺ forbade, which is leaving some parts of the hair uncut and shaving other parts of the hair to the extent where you can see the skin. And that wouldn't be permissible. So it should be even to the extent where, for example, a person may do one grade all over, number two or number three all over, or if a person does number three or number two on the sides, as long as the skin isn't shown on one part of the head, and for example, like a mohawk, you know, something similar. Nowadays, all kinds of styles. Let's say it's a blade zero on the sides, and a number one or number two on the top, then you have hair here, but it's completely shaved on the sides. That wouldn't be permissible. No. Yes, brother. Yeah. Oh, no, there's no specific time. No specific time. I suppose the longer you use it, the more reward you get, inshallah, because you're using this, you're doing the sunnah for longer. So the longer you can use it for, the better, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Shukran, jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.